This week, we're listening to a variety of perspectives on forces at work at the U.S. southern border. I'm David Brancaccio. First, a popular strategy is to hold stock in the companies that make up the S&P 500. On this 1st of August, we can now tell you the S&P index went up 3% in July, the fifth straight month of gains. The bet that the worst inflation is behind us and quarterly corporate profits are part of this. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
High interest rates often mean lower stock prices. Not this year. The S&P 500 index is up 20% year-to-date amid increasing optimism that the U.S. may avoid a recession. Inflation is down, the job market is resilient, and second quarter corporate results are beating forecasts at a higher-than-average rate. But those betting on a soft landing, as in no recession, are betting. That's because core inflation, which shows whether price increases are entrenched, remains above 4%. Federal Reserve policymakers have promised to keep interest rates high until the inflation battle is convincingly won. And that means sustained pressure on the economy for now. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Today we'll get the June numbers on construction spending, which are expected to be strong. You may be thinking houses or apartment construction, but the big driver these days is construction on non-residential, especially factories, given the money the government's spending on bringing microchip production back to the U.S. and electric vehicle and battery production. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Investment in U.S. manufacturing is being pumped up by billions in new government spending, loans, and tax incentives, says Joe Bruswellis at consulting firm RSM.
Public policy to manufacture semiconductor chips, rebuilding American infrastructure, and environmental incentives are combining to stimulate a true manufacturing construction boom.
Year over year, construction of manufacturing facilities is up more than 75%. The rest of non-residential construction, including offices, schools, hospitals, transit systems, is up less than 20%. The Louisville area is getting new electric vehicle factories that'll employ thousands, says Michael Gritton at Kentuckiana Works.
It's raising skill levels, and we as a region are hoping that we also get a lot of the spinoff effects from suppliers.
Meaning more building of distribution centers and warehouses and community college classrooms to train new workers. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This week, the Marketplace Morning team is looking at multiple forces, especially economic forces, shaping migration. We're calling our series Barriers to Entry, the Cost of Crossing the Southern Border. Today, how social media has transformed the illegal business of transporting people seeking better lives. Marketplace's Elizabeth Trovall reports on how a popular direct messaging app has greased the wheels for the multi-billion dollar human smuggling business.
I first met Pedro in a northern Colombian migrant camp where he was guiding Haitians, Cubans, and Venezuelans through the forbidding forested hills of the Darien Gap towards the Panamanian border at $100 a person.
Hello.
2 years later, we catch up over a WhatsApp call. I'm using the pseudonym Pedro to protect his identity because he himself has come to the U.S. and has a pending deportation case. He says when it comes to migration, WhatsApp is the platform to make it happen.
Para la inmigración, pues, excelente porque es que...
It's encrypted, free, anonymous messaging and works even as you cross borders. No international phone plan necessary.
Sigue hablando con el mismo WhatsApp y no le cobran los minutos. Yes.
Before his trips to the Panamanian border, Pedro would connect with soon-to-arrive migrants on WhatsApp.
Yo tengo la moto para que lo suba.
He'd have motorcycles or horse-drawn carts ready to get them to camp and let them know costs ahead of time. Most of the thousands of dollars collected each day from migrants ultimately went to the Clan del Golfo, a powerful drug trafficking and paramilitary group.
Ellos, como tienen el WhatsApp,
Pedro's WhatsApp number would get passed from migrant to migrant. Then, on Pedro's own journey to the U.S., he coordinated with a coyote in Mexico who sent him names and meetup points on WhatsApp. TikTok and Facebook have also been used in smuggling, but more as a way to advertise services, says Nilda Garcia with Texas A&M International University. She sees Coyotes offering trips on Facebook groups.
A lot of people responding, asking for their services, asking for more information.
Guadalupe Correa Cabrera with George Mason University says Facebook and TikTok is where misinformation spreads, especially during immigration policy changes, and that could push a migrant to reach out to a smuggler.
I would contact someone who can provide me a more clandestine form to enter the United States or a faster form to do it.
They may turn to friends or family for a recommendation. And once they have a number,
WhatsApp is the way to connect the smuggler with the client.
The platform gives the smuggler anonymity, reduces costs, and has standardized their customer communication. I'm Elizabeth Troval for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, we talk to a Homeland Security investigator who warns that drug cartels and human traffickers are using social media to recruit Americans to use their cars on dangerous cross-border missions. And today I talked to the World Bank about macroeconomic forces in Central and South America pushing migration north, barriers to entry, the cost of crossing the southern border is the series. The pieces are being posted for streaming at marketplace.org if you missed them on the air. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.